Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to drivendvd.com. drivendvd.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Solar Storm. This is your host, Kyle Hunt, coming to you September 19th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me here at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Please check out what we've got over at RenegadeTribune.com, where we've been going up in the rankings recently. A lot of great traffic happening over there, a lot of interaction, a lot of commenters. Not all of them great, but some good ones. And some good contributors as well. So a big thanks to everybody who helps to make Renegade Tribune a success. Big things coming for Renegade in general. I do have some plans here to potentially bring this show, The Solar Storm, to a video format, but I want to do it right. So if you want to support our efforts, there is a P.O. box where you can send your support. There's also some crypto options for you as well. Really would appreciate it. It helps me to keep going, keep plugging away day after day, especially if you haven't supported in any way before. If you can't financially support, think about submitting an article. Think about sharing the different articles and shows that we have and just helping out however you can. Really, we are listener and reader supported, so that is absolutely crucial that people pitch in. All right, we also have heathenherbs.com, a huge moneymaker. Actually, not really. It's very costly putting together all natural products, but they are good for you, good for your family, good for the environment, and we can ship them out very quickly. So check out what we've got at heathenherbs.com. Sinead has a little Spotify player over there as well if you want to support her music. Okay. Today, I'm going to be going over some of the same general ideas, the same topics that we cover most weeks here on the show. Nothing too esoteric, no great symbolic breakdown like I've done in the past. Those shows are really, really fun, but honestly, I'm just not inspired to do them right now when we're facing so many existential threats on so many different fronts. So let's start off with the racial aspect here. How white people are obviously being genocided, and everybody's ganging up on the world stage to take out whitey and to really wage psychological warfare against white people, in addition to all of the other ways that we're being attacked with the invasions and everything. But psychological warfare is one of the things that enables all the rest of the things to take place. We wouldn't allow ourselves to be invaded. We wouldn't allow ourselves to be browbeaten at every turn, to be marginalized, to be kicked out of different jobs because of a diversity push if we weren't first psychologically attacked. And so, of course, they went and achieved this psychological attack. You could think, you know, going all the way back to Christianity, perhaps. There's no Jew, no Greek, no Gentile, no man or woman, you know, that kind of garbage. You know, that really didn't help white people out too much. Turn the other cheek, love your enemy, all of that. But then you look at what happened in the 20th century with the psychoanalysts like Freud and his nephew, double nephew Bernays, and his employment of propaganda to really influence the masses. And then you look at the Frankfurt School. You look at the F scale that they came up with, all the cultural Marxism. This has been documented time and again, so I'm not going to really go over it. But let's take a look at what's happening today in regard to this attack on white people. We have the World Economic Forum telling U.S. colleges to re-educate the racists among us, as if U.S. colleges were not anti-white enough. All right, so this comes from Campus Reform. The World Economic Forum published an article last week arguing that colleges re-educate the racist among us to end racism on university campuses. Oh, because, you know, really, university campuses are just bastions of white racism. And that's what they're talking about when they refer to racism. Because if you really wanted to get rid of racism on university campuses, you would ban things like critical race theory. You would ban all these different ethnic studies that just blame white people for all the problems of the world. Yeah, you get rid of all of the Judeo-Marxists. They write, fighting racism demands confrontation at all levels on college campuses by uprooting racist institutional designs inherent in campus-wide admission systems, recruitment, scholarships, cultures, and histories. Researchers from the KAIST Korea Policy Center for the Fourth Industrial Revolution wrote, oh, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, that is great. I just love Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum is an organization that advocates for cooperation among the world's largest governments and corporations. Isn't this great? The governments and corporations of the world are saying, we've just got to eradicate white racists. It's also known for its Great Reset series, a provocation to redesign the global economy following COVID-19 and the lockdown-induced global recession. So, real quickly here. It's just insane that they write about uprooting racist institutional designs inherent in campus-wide admission systems. Are you talking about affirmative action, hiring, and admissions? Is that what you're talking about? Because on these university campuses, they have affirmative action hiring for professors and staff, and they are looking to bring in as much diversity, i.e. less white people, as possible. A racist institutional design, but I don't think that's what they're talking about. I don't think that the scholarships and recruiting efforts that are solely dedicated to black and brown students are really what they're talking about here. So what the hell are they talking about? Can you please give me some really concrete examples of this systemic white racism that is inherent in college admissions? As I'd really be interested in knowing. I do know that Jews are disproportionately represented at especially the Ivy League institutions. Anyway, let's just move on from that. It's great the World Economic Forum really joining in on the assault against white people. I mean, just look at the Great Reset. Just look at everything that they've been doing with all the COVID-19 and, of course, what they planned with Event 201. And it's not looking good. They want to turn us all into cyborgs. Legitimately, they want to turn us into cyborgs. That is one of their stated goals. Merging human and technology. Why should we listen to them about anything at all? It's just so insane that the members of the World Economic Forum have been locked up. Why can't we live in a sane world where these kind of people are punished, not listened to for advice? Oh, but see, they have a lot of money and they have a lot of power, so that means we have to listen to them. Okay, so let's take a look at how this push for diversity has affected the English touring opera. They have recently fired half the orchestra that they have simply just for being white. Not because they were doing a bad job or anything, but half of their orchestra is just gone. And these are some longtime members because, well, they're white people and they don't deserve to get a paycheck for playing music. This is from Classic FM. English touring opera has dropped half its orchestral players in a push for diversity. At least 14 musicians have been told that they will not be booked for the 2022 ETO tour, many of them long-running members of the orchestra. The ETO has attributed the changes to prioritizing increased diversity in the orchestra, something that's in line with firm guidance of the Arts Council. Of course, we know increased diversity. It's just a euphemism for less white people, which is, you've really got the situation where you're trying to starve people out. How can white people have families? How can white people reproduce when we're getting fired from jobs just for being white? When we can't even support ourselves, let alone children, because white people are no longer welcome in the workforce, essentially. Yeah, white people can still get some jobs, but you have to take a look at this. From the large-scale perspective, when you're taking resources away from white people and giving them to other people, well, you're going to end up with a genocidal situation. So there are very few places that white people are welcome to work anymore. Maybe some construction jobs, but I'm sure that they're getting overwhelmed as well by all the people flooding over the borders. So this is happening all the time now across almost every single sector, but there's no uproar really about this push just to destroy people's livelihoods, white people's livelihoods, just based solely on their race. Isn't this inherently racist? No, actually, it's racist to oppose it, I guess. That's the world we live in. The Musicians Union is apparently sticking up for these orchestra members who were fired in the diversity push. They wrote, there has been an understandable outcry from musicians' union members in response to this news today. It comes in an especially devastating time for the freelance community and musicians in general, as so many struggling with little work and income during COVID-19. While the MU lauds efforts to increase diversity in the workplace, the union is adamant this should be achieved fairly and legitimately, not by sacking half an orchestra. But listen, anytime you have affirmative action hiring, there is no fairness. There is only race-based discrimination against white people. White people being unfairly denied gainful employment, i.e. white genocide. How can people not understand that it's wrong to go out of your way to impoverish white people?
It's reparations for... Well, no, actually, it's not reparations. Reparations is money that we're going to have to extract from you later down the line when we have official reparations. But it's making amends. It's kind of like atoning for past racism and privileges and stuff. So we're just taking your privilege down a notch. That's all. Don't worry about it. Maybe you'll get a universal basic income at some point. I know we excluded white people from UBIs out there in the Bay Area when we tested it out. But, you know, maybe in the future, if you're a good goy, we'll be willing to give you a few shekels. Just a few. You know, enough to buy some ramen noodle down there at the store, you know. You'll be able to eat something.
Okay, so the Arts Council, which the English Touring Opera had cited as being an inspiration for firing half their orchestra, they were saying, hey, hold up, we did not tell the ETO to fire half its orchestra in order to achieve diversity. We don't want this backlash coming against us. They wrote in a statement, we did not instruct the English Touring Opera to send this letter. We are now in conversation with ETO to ensure no funding criteria have been breached. So I know that this sounds like a small story, and it is. It's a drop in the bucket of, you know, what's going on. But this is just an example of how white genocide is unfolding in everyday life. White people are being denied employment just because we're white, and it's got to stop. And not even pro-white. You know, it should be illegal to deny somebody employment for being pro-white, but that's not even what we're talking about. We're just talking about being white. That's the level we're getting to here. You're fired. Why? Oh, because you're white. We got to make room for some more diversity. Now, we got this Professor Derek Hook up at there at Duquesne University? I don't even know how to say that. I know it's in Canada, right? His name is Professor Derek Hooknose. I mean, Derek Hook, who I'm pretty sure is Jewish. He specializes in post-colonial theory and psychology of racism. And he has come out and said that white people should commit suicide as an ethical act. Actually, he didn't say that himself. But he said that there's some merit to this idea. And he was just, you know, summarizing what somebody else had written. And he's saying, well, there's some merit there. Now, the university had to release a statement about how Derek was totally taken out of context. Don't believe these racists and all that. You know, he's a good guy, great guy, does amazing work. But he's not being taken out of context in this clip at all. He legitimately says that there's merit to the idea that white people should commit suicide as an ethical act. This is part of that psychological warfare that I've been telling you about. And white people are committing suicide at an alarming rate. And even if it's not deliberate, just think about how many white people have lost their lives basically because of the Jewish Sackler family and all the opioids that they pushed upon them. Think about all of the deaths of despair because white people aren't able to be employed gainfully anymore, and they're turning to the bottle. They're completely depressed. It's just so sick. And then you've got this guy here saying that, oh yeah, white people should commit suicide. Let's take a listen. And because this was a World Truth embed, it will probably take about, a minute for the clip to start playing. So we'll get to listen to that in a little bit, right? Oh, very annoying. How annoying to have this be the one of the last sites that we can even use.
White people should commit suicide as an ethical act. And here's a quote from him directly. The reality in South Africa today is that most white people spend their whole lives only engaging black South Africans in subservient positions. My question is then, how can a person not be racist if that's the way they live their lives? The only way then for white people to become part of Africa is not to exist as white people anymore. If the goal is to dismantle white supremacy, and white supremacy is white culture, then the goal has to be to dismantle white culture and ultimately white people themselves. The total integration into Africa by white people will also automatically then mean the death of white people, as white as a concept would not exist anymore. So here's the kind of crazy gambit of this talk. I want to suggest that psychoanalytically, we could even make the argument that there was something ethical in Delporte's statements. Now, I suppose, you know, parenthetically, we could say that Delporte's kind of a young, fired up academic, and maybe, you know, there's a little bit too much of a dramatization in some of his comments. But nevertheless, I want to make the implications. I think that Delporte took his white audience to the threshold of a type of symbolic extinction, or at least the contemplation of what that might be. He took them to a proposed end of whiteness. Or in more psychoanalytic terms, we could say...
Or in most psychoanalytic terms, another euphemism for white genocide.
So the slide was even titled, White People Should Commit Suicide as an Ethical Act. That's what he's talking about here. This is just white genocide propaganda. It's just perfect. And you know what? I mean, is that not what's taking place with this genocide? Is basically they're getting white people to take their own lives. They're white people are being goaded.
Oh yeah, go on, just do something suicidal. Mix your genes, mix with the other races, open your borders, welcome the refugees.
And we gotta welcome all these Haitians flooding over the southern border now, don't we? You see about this one? You see about the tens of thousands of Haitians that were hiding under a bridge, or that were being hidden under a bridge? And, you know, more to come, more crossing all the time. Yeah, actually, Fox News, I guess, was flying a drone over the area and taking a look at what was going on. Then Biden's FAA made it illegal, quickly banned any drones from flying around there because they didn't want the American people to know what was going on with an army of Haitians flooding into the country. And real quickly here, Haitians have got to be some of the worst of the worst, to be honest. These are the descendants of the people who slaughtered every last white person on the island of Haiti. These are people who do not live in any kind of civilized way whatsoever, and it's not because of white racism. In fact, white people have gone in and tried to fix up Haiti time and time again. And here's the thing, a lot of these people, a lot of these Haitians who are flooding over the southern border right now, aren't even from Haiti recently. Yeah, originally they were from Haiti, but then they moved and went to places like Chile and other Central and South American countries, apparently. And what they're doing now is that they've heard that Biden was offering asylum, refuge, to Haitians after the assassination that took place there recently. So they all got plane tickets up to Mexico and were trying to come into the country to claim asylum. And the administration's basically saying, oh, we didn't invite them in. So we got a pretty bad situation occurring down there. And what's going on with a lot of the people that cross the southern border is that they go over to the based Catholic charities. Oh yeah, Catholics are so based. What they Catholic charities do is they then ship these guys all around the country, although they have been basically directed to not send them to, like, I guess you call them liberal strongholds. Now, well, not to DC, not to places like California. They say the cost of living is a little too high. We're going to ship you into these rural white areas. Yeah, and you see what ends up happening when you've got a bunch of low IQ Africans running amok and taking over white people's jobs as well. Well, it's not good. Remember the case of the Somali cop who shot the woman in Minneapolis? Yeah, he could be free soon. So he shot this Australian dual citizen American, this blonde woman, and he's getting away with it. All right, so this is actually from RT, not an endorsement, of course. And they write, the Minnesota Supreme Court has overturned the third-degree murder conviction of a former Minneapolis police officer who shot an unarmed Australian woman dead. The ex-cop will now be sentenced for manslaughter instead. Mohammed Noor, a Somali-American police officer, was convicted in 2019 of third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter for fatally shooting Justine Russick Damond on the night of July 15, 2017. Damond, a dual citizen of Australia and the U.S., had called to report a possible sexual assault taking place outside her home. Noor shot her dead as she approached his squad car. Oh, he feared for her life from this blonde woman, yeah. Noor was acquitted of second-degree murder in his trial, but was found guilty of third-degree murder and manslaughter and sentenced to 12 and a half years behind bars for the former offense. How can this guy, I know he's a cop, but how can he just go around and just murder innocent people and get off like this, even with the 12 and a half years that he was originally sentenced to? However, Minnesota's Supreme Court reversed that conviction on Wednesday, ruling that in order for a third depraved mind. During his 2019 trial, Noor's lawyers argued that he feared for his patrol partner's life as Damond approached their squad car in the dark alley outside her home, raising her hand outside the driver's side window of the vehicle. Prosecutors argued that Noor jumped to using lethal force without assessing the situation first. So, Noor's case will now go back to a lower court where he will be sentenced for the second-degree manslaughter conviction. He was already serving 22 months for murder. That's what he served. And with that time subtracted from a likely four-year sentence for manslaughter, the former cop could be eligible for supervised release at the end of this year, CBS News reported. Until Derek Chauvin was found guilty this year of murdering George Floyd, Noor was the only Minnesota police officer ever convicted for killing somebody in the line of duty. Unlike Floyd, Noor was defended by activists who argued that he was unfairly punished due to his ethnicity. The American Civil Liberties Union, an organization that argues that is completely ethical and actually promotes civil rights to have mandatory vaccines. The ACLU is a frickin' joke and needs to be disbanded immediately. But they aggressively pushed for a conviction in the Chauvin case, but they argued in the case of Noor that the blonde, blue-eyed, white Damond was the ideal victim by which prosecutors could take advantage of racist tropes to secure a conviction of Noor. Oh, his civil liberties are being abused because it was a white, blonde woman he murdered. Oh, how about her civil liberties? How about her life being taken? Jeez. Absolutely sickening what is taking place in this country and around the world. Now let's take a look at a brief story here that should just go to show you where Anonymous, the hacktivist group, stands. Now, Ars Technica had published an article and that was picked up by Wired. And the title of this is Anonymous Leaked a Bunch of Data from a Right-Wing Web Host. And they're talking about Epic. So Anonymous hacked into Epic, which hosts things like the Texas GOP, Parler, 8chan, and a bunch of other sites that are, you know, kind of right-wing. But they hacked in there because, oh, these people are white supremacists and you got neo-Nazis and we're going to expose them. So in this article, they never go in and talk about how what Anonymous did was illegal because, oh, it's justified. It's great. They're basically celebrating this illegal act of hacking in there and then exposing all of this sensitive information to the public. It's just so amazing what is excused in this country as long as it's attacking white people. Now, I don't care about the right wing and the GOP and Parler and all that crap, but it just goes to show where Anonymous and organizations like Ars Technica and Wired actually stand in all of this. Now, here's the thing. Epic is not our friend either. Epic has put out all of these statements about how they won't stand for hate. You know, we're gonna stop hosting hate and all this other crap about, you know, how they, I think they, yeah, so they took down the National Socialist Movement, their website. They used to be hosted at Epic. But anybody that was hosted there, all of their information seems to have been completely doxed, put out there to the public. And apparently this was very easy to do, and just a couple weeks prior to this big data breach, somebody had reached out to Rob Monster on LinkedIn and said, listen, I found a vulnerability. Basically, anybody was able to insert code into their server and run these command lines on their server, so that's probably how it happened, but I guess Rob just ignored the message. So, yeah, they're absolutely screwed, anybody that was hosting there or had a domain name registered there. But you know who hasn't been hacked is actually ZenserFree. So if you want a website, and if you mention Renegade Tribune, I'm pretty sure you still get 6 months of web hosting for free. So that's ZenserFree, which is German for censorship free. And you can go sign up for an account over there, where I guess the security is just a little bit better. Okay, all right, we've had good experiences hosting our sites on there, and we get attacked all of the damn time. Let's take a look at a few stories here, which just seem to be absolute bogus. Probably just these, false flagging type events, FBI setups and things like that. We're seeing a lot more of that, all the time, just to try to blame white people. Here we go. Here's an article from the U.S. Sun. Capital crime. Man with knives and machete and truck graffitied with swastikas arrested near Democrat HQ after saying he's on patrol. Really? His truck was just graffitied with swastikas. Oh, okay. A man who allegedly had multiple knives, including a machete, was arrested near the DNC headquarters. Donald Craighead, 44, was arrested for possession of prohibited weapons around midnight on Monday. Oh, he's just got swastikas all over the place. This is so cool. And the license plate was replaced by an American flag. A lot of, white supremacists and neo-Nazis, they don't like the American flag. They're not going to have the American flag as their license plate. It just doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't he have a big swastika there? It's probably just to, put him in with all of these different, patriot groups and militias and stuff. Just try to smear everybody at the same time. All right, so then let's take a look at another story. It's kind of like this from Vice. Neo-Nazi and KKK fanboy built pipe bombs with uranium from eBay. So we got some uranium from eBay, and he was building pipe bombs. So there's really just one specific paragraph in here that should tell you all you need to know about what was going on here. Because if you just look at what the FBI has done with so many of these fake terror plots that they set up, they take somebody who's mentally handicapped and then they just set him up. So here we read, on the 26th of August, teachers called the local cops for assistance after the 26-year-old student, who reportedly has significant developmental disabilities, announced to his class that he had successfully built 4 pipe bombs and loaded them with radioactive dust used in scientific experiments that he had purchased from eBay. Is this story real? If it is, the FBI must have set this guy up. This is just their MO, taking somebody with significant developmental disabilities and convincing them that's a good idea to build some fake bombs and stuff. Yeah, that's... how many times has that happened? Okay, so let's shift gears just a little bit now, and we'll start talking about the vaccine nonsense and the health crisis that's taking place around the world now and being used as an excuse for the most tyrannical measures you can imagine. I saw this little image. I thought I'd lead out with it. Dear vaccinated, we did not take your freedom. The government did. We are not holding your freedoms at ransom. The government is. If we are a danger to you, then your vaccine doesn't work. If it does, then you should already be free. The government has lied to you. How simple is that? How easy to understand is that? We're not the ones causing the problems here because we're not taking the injection. It's the government doing. And who's killing these people? People are dying. I am not arguing that people are not falling sick and dying. I think they're falling sick from the vaccine and vaccine shedding. And I think that they're dying from the protocols that these hospitals put them on. I've seen a lot of people talking about, how remdesivir is killing people and all a lot of these other drug cocktails that they're using. But here's what's absolutely crazy. You remember all the people who were put on respirators, ventilators? What happens is that they would then be dosed with a cocktail of different things. Opiates, antipsychotics, and benzos. They would give these people fentanyl. And I published a little piece about this over at Renegade Tribune, where they go through some of these drug protocols. And you're just thinking, why would you depress the respiratory system of somebody who's having respiratory problems? Why would you give them anti-schizophrenic drugs like Haldol? What the hell is going on? Most of these drugs are going to suppress, they're going to depress the respiratory system. What is taking place here? This is why people are dying. This is why ventilators have been killing people. Ventilators destroying their lungs to begin with. And then you've got all these drugs being given to them, which are going to suppress their respiratory system. This is medical murder. All of the vaccine damages, medical murder. It needs to be called out for what it is. But people are so trusting of those in the white lab coats. This is what they found out with that Jew Milgram and his experiments. Yeah, people are willing to kill each other. If the experiments were real, you know, Milgram's experiments about compliance to an authority figure. If those studies were actually real, people are willing to kill each other as long as a person in a white lab coat said it was okay to do. Yep, let's turn that dial, that shock, all the way up to lethal because the guy in the lab coat told me to keep going. That's what's taking place at a mass scale right now. And I think another thing that's taking place is a little bit of Stockholm syndrome, where we're being held captive by our governments, and you've got so many people just thinking that the governments are the heroes, that they're the ones who are going to save us. They have to do this. See, we got to take their side because, I mean, they're put in this difficult position. They're trying to help us. They're trying to help us get free. No, they're the ones who have taken your freedoms. What little freedoms that you had left. Take a look at this article from the Conservative Treehouse, even though I am not a conservative and I don't want to be in a treehouse with these guys. But the article is titled, "Why Did the CDC Stop Recording Vaccine Breakthrough Cases in the U.S. on May 1st? Today we got the obvious answer. They want to push booster vaccines. All right, so let's go through this article a little bit. A breakthrough case is the term for a person infected with COVID-19 after they've been vaccinated. On May 1st, the CDC changed the recording and record keeping of COVID-19 breakthrough cases and stopped tracking them. The change was announced July 30th. The CDC currently monitors hospitalizations and deaths from any cause among fully vaccinated individuals with COVID-19, but not breakthrough infections, which it stopped monitoring as of May 1st. CDC presents this data in aggregate at the national level, but not by state, and there is no single public repository for data by state or data on breakthrough infections since the CDC stopped monitoring them. Also, what they've done to try to skew the data is that they have only considered somebody fully vaccinated if they've it's been 2 weeks, I think, since their second shot. So if you get sick after your first vaccination, you're still an unvaccinated individual in the data. If you get sick after your second vaccination, you're still an unvaccinated individual. The only time you can actually be considered a vaccinated individual is if you've had it's been 2 weeks since your second vaccine or something along those lines. And they're just cooking the books in order to push this poison. At the time the CDC stopped tracking the incidence of vaccinated persons contracting COVID-19 and being hospitalized, many people wondered why. Obviously, if you stop recording vaccinated persons who are hospitalized, it will look like only unvaccinated persons are being hospitalized by the variants in the CDC records. That skews the data and gives the false impression that only unvaxxed persons are getting infected and/or sick, which is exactly what happened. The medical industry and media narrative around the COVID-19 Delta variant was that unvaccinated people in the U.S. were the majority group at risk. The data supported that narrative because the breakthrough cases were no longer being recorded. This makes the vaccine approach look better. The approach of not counting the breakthrough case hospitalizations also makes the pharmaceutical companies look better. Their vaccine looks more appealing and more effective. However, another angle surfaced today that highlights the strength of the motive to stop recording those breakthrough cases. It also explains why some of the top leadership in the FDA quit their jobs rather than participate. When the FDA vaccine approval panel was originally instructed to use the efficacy data with the goal of evaluating the booster shot request for the Pfizer vaccination, they were instructed to only look at the data from the U.S. Knowing the CDC no longer was tracking U.S. breakthrough cases, that meant the FDA vaccine approval panel was only evaluating the Pfizer efficacy and hospitalization issue around the non-vaccinated group. If this approach had been maintained, they would be making a determination of vaccine efficacy effectiveness in the U.S. with the key metric omitted. The Pfizer vaccine would look more effective than it actually was because the vaccinated and hospitalized metric was removed. I think you get where we're going with that, so we don't need to go any further. So a country where you can look to see that the vaccine is actually the cause of infection is Mongolia. If you look at what happened with Mongolia, it was touted as a huge success with so very few COVID deaths in the first year of the pandemic. But then after mass vaccinations took place, they now lead the world in COVID cases and have much higher death rates. So there's actually a chart that you could try to find. It might be a little bit hard because this information is being suppressed. You see the total vaccinations of the country spike up, and then a little while later, you see the total COVID deaths skyrocket right behind it. I mean, it's just so obvious. If the vaccines did what they were promised to do, which was to make the COVID cases go down, you would see vaccination rates go up and COVID cases go down. Instead, what you see is vaccination rates go up and COVID cases go up as well. Huh, isn't that strange? Isn't that curious? These people who are pushing this on us need to be held accountable. They need to be drawn and quartered. I don't know the legal system. I'm not telling anybody to go draw and quarter anybody or tar and feather anybody, because that could lead to somebody's death. If you tar and feather them, that could kill somebody, okay? But I'm just saying, if we brought back the practice of tarring and feathering people, perhaps these public servants would serve the public just a little bit more. I'm not saying to do it, people. I'm just saying if I saw a public servant who has been poisoning people tarred and feathered, I wouldn't be upset. But don't do it. Don't you dare, listener, and FBI listening to me, don't you dare think that I am advocating for anybody to do anything illegal. Just because I would chuckle at seeing Anthony Fauci tarred and feathered doesn't mean that I'm calling for that to happen. Only if it was done legally, okay? A legal tarring and feathering. Then I'd have no objections. All right, let's look at what's happening in this New York hospital. You probably saw this week. They have to pause baby deliveries because a bunch of staffers have quit over the vaccine mandate. And so instead of getting rid of some of the other things that they do at this hospital, like poisoning people with pharmaceutical drugs, they decided instead, hey, we don't really care about new life. We just care about killing people here. So no more babies being born. You'd think that you could just maybe say, we can't enforce this vaccine requirement. We're losing all the staff. We can't even deliver babies anymore. No, they're just going to go by with less staff and cut out an unnecessary thing like children being born at the hospital. But I'll tell you this. Those children would probably have a much better success rate if they were born at home, because the United States is terrible, absolutely terrible for newborn babies, the mortality of newborn babies and their mothers. Unfortunately, a lot of these mothers who are going to be giving birth will go to just another hospital instead of doing it at home. And it's just... it's not a place you want to go to bring life into this world. In certain countries, it's probably, it's a little bit better, but the whole system needs to be overhauled. It'd be great if you actually had people there around you assisting with birth, but that is not the case with these institutions. It is all big money-making scheme, and they do not care about your overall health and well-being or that of the child. Sinead and I have talked about this quite a bit, especially years ago. I'm not going to go over it, but just an interesting development there with this hospital out of New York. All right, let's move now to what's happening to children. Yeah. So a big question is, when will COVID-19 vaccines be available for kids under 12 years old? Everybody wants to know. Everybody's banging on the door saying, come on, we want our little children vaxxed up. They shouldn't be denied this life-saving treatment. So here's an article from Forbes. When will COVID-19 vaccines be available for kids under 12 years old? Kids are people, too. People without rights, I guess. They have noses, mouths, lungs, and other body parts and can catch and spread severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus, too, just like adults can. Therefore, one big question in the U.S.'s current struggle against the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic is when kids under 12 years of age will be able to get vaccinated. After all, you may be fully vaccinated, your significant other may be fully vaccinated, your 16-year-old boy who no longer thinks that you're cool may be fully vaccinated, but as long as you've got unvaccinated people running around the house, you've got to maintain other stringent COVID-19 precautions. Yes, you may have to tell your 7-year-old, bruh, you're already holding all of us back. You're really holding all of us back, bruh. Yeah, you're going to tell your 7-year-old, bruh, I hate how they write this. This is just so stupid. That's because unvaccinated people, no matter how small they may be, remain at much, much, much higher risk of getting infected with the virus, suffering bad consequences from infection, and infecting you and others with the virus than those who are fully vaccinated. Can you cite your statistics here? Cite the real studies. Instead of saying much, much, much higher, can you give me some real facts and figures? I'm not seeing any footnotes in this article. I'm not seeing any links to studies. But you just got to trust Forbes. Yeah, they wouldn't lie to us, guys. These people wouldn't lie to us. So then they go on to talk about how... Oh, God, they reference Baby Shark. This is just ridiculous. Recently, the COVID-19 coronavirus has been spreading among kids seemingly faster than that Baby Shark did. So, Baby Shark song did in 2018. Oh, and yeah, the big increase is because parents got vaccinated. They're shedding all of these spike proteins and whatever else is in these things to their children. So they talk about how they're preparing to start doing some clinical trials on, you know, 6-month-olds and up. Yeah, once you hit 6 months old, you should be able to handle some mRNA technology being injected into your body. Yeah, just totally hijack the whole system of the body. Install a new operating system, as they've said. So that's a big push. The big push now is that they want 6-month-olds to be injected. And they're going to make a decision about this apparently by this winter. So, something to look forward to, huh? Okay, over there in Colorado, children are being abused by being forced to wear masks all day in school. Actually, they're being abused everywhere by being forced. But over in Colorado, teachers can actually be arrested in the Tri-County Health, Tri-County region. So, the Tri-County Health Department has a mask mandate, and these teachers and staff members or administrators at the school can be arrested, imprisoned for a year, and fined $5,000 if they don't force these students to keep their masks on. I don't know how they're expected to force these students to keep their masks on, but if they don't get these students to comply, they can be arrested by the police, imprisoned for a year, and fined $5,000. Let's listen to this news report. This is so absurd. It's so sickening.
The superintendent of Littleton Public Schools warns educators that if they don't enforce Tri-County mask mandates, schools could be shut down and they could face serious penalties. Our political specialist, Sean Boyd's live now outside a Parker Elementary, should not have to wear a mask. But this is something totally different, Sean.
Yeah, Alan, this is about teachers and administrators being arrested, charged, and prosecuted not only if they themselves don't wear a mask, but if they don't force their students to wear a mask. Tri-County Health Department is requiring school employees to enforce its mask mandate for the health department. If they don't, Tri-County says it's a Class 1 misdemeanor under state law, punishable by up to a year in jail and $5,000 fine. Parents are now suing.
I am not an anti-masker. I fully support anything that we can do. What I am against is abusing the power of the teachers against their will, against the will of the children, against the will of the people.
Tara Cole, among the parents suing Tri-County Health Department after she says teachers at Pine Grove Elementary School refused to let her son inside unless he wore a mask.
There was about 30 kids behind him lined up, his friends, our neighbors, people that he cares about. He was made to be humiliated in front of all of them. I saw him cowering in the corner in tears, covering his face.
Cole says Tri-County Health is to blame for what she calls a culture of fear and intimidation after it issued a mask mandate that she says turns teachers into law enforcers.
I do not expect teachers and principals to put their job on the line for something like this.
Parents not the only ones concerned. The attorney for Littleton Public Schools warned the Board of Education teachers and administrators could be arrested and jailed if they don't enforce the health department's mask mandate.
We can all be held criminally liable for not enforcing the Tri-County order.
Attorney George Brockler is filing suit on behalf of the parents.
The idea that we're going to convert parents and teachers into enforcers of this order at the risk of their own liberty, that's not America.
And I think we have to stand up now when it's about masks, when we can all agree that the teachers should not be the ones in the line of fire in this scenario.
Now, Tri-County Health does allow medical exemptions to its mask mandate, but Cole says her son has bloody noses and trouble breathing wearing a mask, not a medical condition. And again, she says at issue is whether teachers should be requiring him or in some cases, she says, shaming him to wear a mask. District Attorney John Kellner says at this point he has not received any referrals for prosecution, but he says his office would review any cases referred to it to see if they could be proved beyond a reasonable doubt. He does say there is the potential for criminal charges. Live in Parker, Sean Boyd covered.
So insane. We have terrorists who have taken over the country. They did a long time ago, but essentially it's like, let's say, ISIS-K or whoever, or enforcing their secular Sharia. You can't leave your home. And even in your home, you should have your face covered. Essentially, we've all been made to be like Muslim women under Sharia law, where we have no rights, where you gotta have a face covering to do anything, where you need to get vaccinated to even go into the store with their vaccine passports that they're putting into place all over the country and all over the world. People are tolerating this. It is so crazy. In a country where it's always been the land of the free and the home of the brave. Really? Really? Yeah, it sure sounds like it these days, doesn't it? I saw this video of this little child being forced. It looked like an infant or a toddler. The woman was just, I think it was in a daycare, just kept putting the mask right over the child's face and he couldn't breathe, so he keeps ripping it down and crying. No, no, put it on. Put it on. She keeps strapping this thing onto its face as it's struggling to be free, struggling to breathe, as it's being smothered. This little boy, this poor little innocent boy, being abused like this, and this is what happens all the time. We just don't see video of it. If it doesn't break your heart, then you're just soulless. If it doesn't make you want to go and do something about this, then I don't know what to tell you. Because when I see children being abused, I just can't stand idly by. And that's why I continue to do this show. That's why I continue to publish on Renegade Tribune. I mean, there are so many injustices in this world, but when you just abuse children, that's the lowest of the low. Which makes me want to play this, a little bit of this song here, just as a, I don't know, because I thought of it. I heard these stories about teachers being forced to mask students and all the rest of the insanity. YouTube is not currently available on this device? What the hell does that mean? Why would YouTube not be available on my Chrome browser? Really? Really, YouTube? That is just bizarre. I've never had this happen. Okay, I was just going to play the Pink Floyd song, Another Brick in the Wall Part 2. But hey, teachers, leave those kids alone. How about that? How about I'll just say it? Speaking of that, let's turn to the BBC. Warning on teachers' lack of Holocaust knowledge. These teachers just don't know enough about the Holocaust. The teachers need a Holocaust class, just like the students. Major misconceptions about the Holocaust are common among teachers, research suggests. Most teachers in England lack the knowledge to combat common myths and falsehoods about the atrocity. You mean the pedal-driven brain-bashing machine? I mean, because that's totally real. The shrunken heads? Totally real. The human skin, the Jew skin lamps? Lampshades? Totally real. The Jew fat soap? Totally real. The masturbating machine? Totally real. Different Jews from different regions giving off different smoke from the crematoria? Different colored smoke coming out of... Elie Wiesel, the weasel, said this one. Yeah, you gotta believe it. You gotta believe it. Different Jews give off different colored smoke. It's just crazy. You know, the ones from the east, they might give off a bluish tint. The ones from the west might give off a greenish tint. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, this is based on research by University College London's Centre for Holocaust Education. They said there had been improvements since a similar study in 2019. But the researchers warned of real-world consequences from a lack of understanding. The research found most teachers did not know where or when the Holocaust began. Most could not correctly identify the proportion of the German population that was Jewish in 1933. Less than half knew that what the British government's response was to learning of the massacre of Jewish people. Almost a fifth of those with recent experience of teaching about the Holocaust had received no formal specialist training. They need a Holocaust class. UCL Associate Professor Dr. Andy Pierce said pupils could be developing skewed and fundamentally erroneous impressions of this period. Oh, they are. Oh, believe you me, they are. If one of the aims of teaching and learning about the Holocaust is to prevent the repetition of similar atrocities in the future, then we need to have secure knowledge and understanding of why this particular genocide happened, he said. As a society, we should have no tolerance for misunderstandings, myths, and mythologies about the Holocaust. Oh, I agree. Wholeheartedly. Just not how this guy is thinking. That can be a breeding ground for conspiracy theories and for revisionism and for denial and distortion. There are real-world consequences for these misconceptions and misunderstandings. Big headline, white supremacy ideology. The study was based on in-depth focus groups and a survey of 1,077 teachers, 964 of whom had received or had recently taught the Holocaust. Taught the Holocaust. I love that. They recently taught the Holocaust. Woking High School. That's the name of this. Woking High School head teacher Mike and Walter said accurate Holocaust education was particularly important after the pandemic, when pupils had spent more time online, often unsupervised. Woking High School. Okay. We have seen some signs in our community of a rise in white supremacy ideology, and it is a concern for most schools to try to tackle that, she said. Yes! Good job, students, getting out there and getting some real information. The Holocaust is not something that is irrelevant to the modern day. It is still very central to our lives, and it is essential it is taught well. Yeah. Hey, teachers, leave those kids alone. Yo, no, actually, keep teaching them. You could teach them about how the eagle and the bear would just tear apart these little poor Jews. You could teach them about Anne Frank's ballpoint pen. It's amazing how she got this advanced technology. I mean, just really, yeah, teach them all about the Holocaust. You know, but just remember, it was real. It was real in my mind. These goddamn liars. Oh, I am so sick of the liars. These same liars who are running the whole COVID-19 scam and all the pharmaceutical companies. They're currently in complete control of the CDC, Pfizer. I mean, we've gone over this before. These people must be stopped. And look what they're doing. Look what they're doing to children. look at what they're doing with their gender studies and gender identity and all that other crap. And let's take a look at what a UK court recently ruled. They ruled that children under 16 can get puberty-blocking drugs without parental consent. This is from AP News. Britain's Court of Appeal ruled Friday that doctors can prescribe puberty-blocking drugs to children under 16, overturning a lower court's decision that a judge's approval should be needed. Appeals judges said the High Court was wrong to rule last year that children considering gender reassignment are unlikely to be able to give informed consent to medical treatment involving drugs that delay puberty. The December 2020 ruling said that because of the experimental nature of the drugs, clinics should seek court authorization before starting such treatment. The Tavistock and Portman NHS Trust, oh, Tavistock, that's great, which runs the UK's main gender identity development service for children, appealed against that ruling. On Friday, the Court of Appeal agreed with the trust. The judges said that it was inappropriate for the High Court to have given the guidance that said it was up to doctors to exercise their judgment about whether their patients can properly consent. Under 16s can't drive a car. They can't drink a beer. They can't vote. But they can decide that they don't want to go through puberty. Let's just take their word for it. We need to trust their decision-making abilities. Except we don't trust them at any other time. The trust welcomed the decision, saying it affirms that it is for doctors, not judges, to decide in the capacity of under 16s to consent to medical treatment. Hormone blockers are drugs that can pause the development of puberty and are sometimes prescribed to help children with gender dysphoria by giving them more time to consider their options. And let's just take a look at the suicide rate among people who go transgender, which this is being pushed on all these children. It's insane. You know, regular children aren't killing themselves at absurd levels, but if you take a tranny child, they're so much more likely to be wanting to kill themselves. This does not help them. It hurts them. And really, that's what medical institutions are doing in general. It's harming people. It's not the Hippocratic Oath. They take the Hippocratic Oath. They do harm. Everything they do is harm, except they're not harming the pocketbooks of the pharmaceutical companies. That's for damn sure. Oh, my God. It's so sick. But you know what? Let's end this little discussion here with something more positive. Let's just listen in as, I guess, an instructor somewhere asked these children who are actually well-informed to talk about the dangers of vaccines. I don't know where this is from, but it's inspiring to hear that some children are actually informed. This is a brief clip.
So now I'm going to ask you the same question with vaccines. What's in a vaccine? Go ahead.
Different chemicals?
Chemicals that could really hurt you.
Chemicals that can really hurt you?
That have
really hurt you, okay.
Absolutely right. Just take a few of them. Formaldehyde, do you want that injected to you? And to you, how about mercury? It's a neurotoxin. How about aluminum? It's a neurotoxin. Put them both together, they're even more toxic. That's just a couple of small examples.
Okay. It can poison your brain.
Chemicals that can poison your brain?
And make it so you're not smart.
Such as mercury. So,
did you say metals like mercury? Well, you guys are way smart.
Polysorbate 80?
Polysorbate, oh my goodness. We have some very smart kids here. So polysorbate 80, I wasn't even going to talk about that tonight, but what does polysorbate 80 do?
It opens the brain barrier.
The blood-brain barrier. So it makes it so chemicals can go into the brain and hurt the brain, is that right?
It can poison your body.
Poison your body?
It can damage the brain. When it opens it, it can damage your brain.
Okay, when your blood-brain barrier gets open, it can damage your brain.
You will be really bad at learning and stuff like that.
It can cause learning problems.
And it can cause body problems.
Body problems, physical problems, walking problems.
And I already have my own problem.
Okay, let's save that for a little later, and I will ask you, okay?
Sometimes it can even make you mentally retarded.
Okay, you guys are amazing. We got to keep moving here, but you guys are amazing. I had no idea that you guys were going to be able to go boom, 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 and give all of those answers. Every one of those answers were absolutely true. Vaccines can do that.
Yeah, they can. And it's just great to see these children far smarter than 5% of adults now. It might be higher than that. It's, man, it is hard being somebody who knows the truth in a world full of people who are just regurgitating lies. It's difficult. All right, guys, that is all I have for you here today. Please check out Renegade Tribune, heathenherbs.com. Thanks to anybody who has supported the network. If you'd like to do so, check out the sidebar on the site. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you all again soon.
Listen to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
KD Armor raised the standard. Finally, AR-500 Steel Core Body Armor that comfortably conforms to the chest and torso. Unique design distributes weight, feeling lighter, increases mobility, and lessens fatigue. Introducing the Combat Quad Bend CQB, a revolutionary plate forming process that caters to the end user. The CQB is an industry game changer, a must-have for the ladies. Available now, only at KDArmor.com, CATIArmor.com. Come and take it.
For the next few seconds, you'll hear nothing but the sounds of a farmer walking through a field of oats. These sounds are brought to you by Pepperidge Farm Farmhouse Bread. You see, life on a farm moves at its own pace, because everything we're doing takes time. That's why our bakers slow bake our farmhouse oatmeal bread with thoughtful care, so our famous farmhouse taste is baked into every slice. Pepperidge Farm Farmhouse Oatmeal Bread. Slow is good.
Attention patriots. Tired of the tyranny and crime in the sanctuary cities? Flee the city and seek refuge in the American Redoubt. FleeTheCity.com. Move to the freedom of Idaho, Montana, or Wyoming. FleeTheCity.com. FleeTheCity.com.
Thanks for listening to Project Schoolyard Volume 2.
For more information about the project, as well as lyric to the songs on this CD, please visit www.tightrope.cc. You can also find jokes, news articles, a photo gallery, free CD downloads, and a secure online shopping cart. We carry a full line of flags, t-shirts, CDs, books, stickers, and other products of interest to racially conscious white people. Please visit www.tightrope.cc.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.